axiom that said spirit without matter is expressionless, and matter without spirit is motionless. Now, spirit today has changed its term. Around 300 years ago, the term energy dominated over spirit, because energy comes from two roots, erg and en. En means, in Latin, being, and erg means force. So they took, and in a sense, took spirituality, which is a being of force, life force, if you will, and they converted into energy so they wouldn't look so unscientific. Even though the Nobel Prize winner, Richard Feynman, even says in his time before he passed away, we don't know what energy is. It's still an imponderable metaphysical essence. It's not a substance that's tangible, imponderable, that you can measure. The second you measure it, you turn it into matter. It's a quantum state. So this idea of this text was about the relationship between spirit and matter. And it says that spirit and matter are the two driving forces for human consciousness, the evolution of humans. In other words, there's material motivations and there's spiritual motivations. But the master is the one who integrates them. The masses separate them, and the master integrates them. And so this book was about the evolution of it, and it's a transformative journey, because as you go through the book, your mind is transformed into the absolute inescapable connection between spirit and matter. And I don't know if that is making sense, but it's that when one understands the synthesis of these two and how they are interchangeable, as Einstein says, then there's a freedom to manifest. And there's in India, they had a thing called Kriya Shakti, and Kriya Shakti was the taking the intangible and making it tangible. And so humanity, the essence of humanity, is a way of taking the intangible, making tangible, and the spiritual into the material. And so our art of being human is that mastery. And so this book is the journey of that. So I wanted to start with that, the idea that what it showed. If you go back into cultures today around the world, Tibet, Ethiopia, some places in the Rift Valley of maybe Egypt, down into Africa, or other locations, you'll find that some cultures are still as they were thousands of years ago. I know I was floating around in Tibet a few years ago, and we actually came across, as we were we created this base camp at the base of this mountain, we were about 19,000 feet, and we found a man and a woman and a child living in a cave with a yak. And they were literally dressed in yaks. They lived off yaks. They yak butter, yak milk, yak this. It was yakety yak all the time. And so here is a culture, in a sense, that still exists as it was probably 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 years ago. Now, the development of culture, the development of humanity, in a sense, has everything to do with economics. In fact, economics and ecosystems are really synonymous. The study of economics and ecosystems, if you change the language, but you look at the systems of them, they're identical. So they're fascinating studying these things. But if we look very carefully, you'll see that the cultures that have evolved forward are the ones who had mastered wealth building. And without wealth building, and the art and science of it, and the philosophy of it, the cultures stagnate. And just so too, inside us, we are a synthesis of differentiated cells, which is a culture, once it's evolved, that must have that same integrative development process amongst itself. And the art of exchange, we'll call it biomolecules exchange, is the economics of inside us. And the same laws apply biologically, as ecologically, as economically. All the ologies are derived from a logos, and the study of the logos is really the study of these laws that involve structures. So, anyway, just as a culture evolves and differentiates from a general primordial cell, maybe a male and female like this man in Tibet, to eventually specialists who are doing different trades at different classes in the hierarchy of development, so too in culture. And let me kind of play on biology for a second here. As you know, most likely you have studied a little bit of this or heard a little bit of this, about the sperm and the ovum coming together, right? You've either practiced or you've studied it or something. You've kind of played with this. If you join these things together, you create from a haploid, you create this diploid state, and this diploid now starts to meiotically and mitotically divide. And the second it does, it differentiates first at around the seventh week into these germ layers, you might say, and you get these ectoderm, endoderm, mesoderms. And what happens then, you start to differentiate further in these cells. Because of the genetics turning on and turning off, you get these cellular differentiations, And in these cellular differentiations, you start to have one cell doing something slightly